Just a side note by way of a little word of humor. Coach Lynch and Jen could have had a son that was in the corner playing the flute, doing crossword puzzles, but instead he loves basketball. So God bless you guys, huh? With a basketball player. Could be writing poetry and just... How about Doug Wambolt's testimony about his son and the football? Did anybody hear it? Yeah, he has a big, strapping, strong son, huge guy. And Doug wants him to play football. And instead, he's home, you know, with a little cat, just petting the cat. And he said, Ryan, get out there and play ball. And he goes, okay, Dad. And then he has little chickens hatching in the closet, right? Yeah, so that was a funny story. Now, anyway, we never know, but we are blessed with all that we got. We have a small school, but a mighty one. Hallelujah. And we take no credit for it, only just to the glory of God, and we are very thankful. And these guys are going to go to Tennessee, and they're going to kick. Okay, let's move on. They're going to go to Tennessee and win. Yeah. Amen, coach? Come on. Going to go and win. Okay. Anybody here play basketball with Jimmy Carter in high school? Any of the team remaining? Want to stand up? Anybody? Oh, they've all passed away. Okay, so here we go. How about you? Anybody here that played with you?
Well, Scotty, I played with Scotty.
Scotty Dubé. You want to stand up, Scotty? There's one remaining. Anybody? Okay, Eddie Yanowski. Okay, so this is history. Okay. Lord, we just thank you for the joy that's in you, all the good gifts that are showered on us. And our boast is in you. Thank you so much. These are great days. These are great days. Thank you for them. Bless this team, the travel, the playing, everything in it, our hearts. We just are thankful in your name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. God, love you guys. Great job. Great job. Thank you, coach. Okay, one light comment before the offering. Proverbs 14, verse 20, you'll see. The screens are down, I think, just because Jesus didn't use screens. And we don't need screens either, amen? But we've got our Bible open to Proverbs 14, verse 20. If you are rich, if you're a rich man, you've got a lot of money, would you stand up right now? Now, you see, there's many of you are sitting here and you are rich and you know it, but you don't want to stand up for many reasons. And one of them is Proverbs 14, 20. It says this, the poor is hated, even of his own neighbor, but the rich hath many friends. Okay, anybody here rich? Stand up, you'll have a lot of friends by the end of the service. They'll just be hovering around. How about these football players that get an NFL contract? How much does their telephone ring once they sign that big money? How many friends the rich people have? But there's a story in the Bible about a prophet who's walking with God, and his name is Elijah, and he has a follower, Elisha, and they cross the Jordan River, and Elijah says to Elisha, what can I do for you? And listen, he could have said, put me in your will. Give me your money, your house, your possessions. But he didn't. Because there's something bigger, greater, wonderful, amazing. He said, give me your spirit. Spirit. Twice. Double the portion of your spirit. Have you ever said that to anybody? I don't care about your money. I don't even know if you have any. I could care less. But I love your spirit, your faith, your ministry. I love your ministry, your life, your love, your faith, your ministry. I want that. That's why we go to church. How many are you? How many, you know, we had a church, and we have a church in the Middle East, and the KGB called some of our authorities in and asked some questions. How much do you pay people to go to your church? $10 a service, right? And the answer, of course, is no. But they cannot understand a world that operates without money. It works without money. We follow Christ because of the Spirit. We follow Christ because of the love. Because we see God. If we see Christ, the Spirit of Christ dwells in us. And by the Spirit of Christ, we see God. That is a lot better than the things that people possess in their pockets. It's why we take more responsibility. And I think I'm going to just preach the message now, just to be short. And I know you like it short. Fernando, Alan, they want the shortest message possible. Okay, listen. Okay, wait a minute. Hold it. Okay, wait a minute. I'm going to lose my way. Okay, wait, hold on. Let's see. Okay. When we live in the Spirit, we not only think about what is possible, but we live in the Spirit of God in the present. In the present. The Spirit of God in you says, I can play the basketball game, or I can love my wife, or I can raise a family, or I could keep a job. Or the Spirit of God in you says, I can get off of drugs. I am off them. I am off them. The Spirit of God says to me, I am off them. I'm off them. What? You see, in the Christianity, sometimes we sell God by telling people about things instead of revealing to people who he is. The devil went to God one day in Job chapter 1, verse 10. The devil met God in the heavens. The devil was... And God said, where have you been? He said, I've been going to and fro throughout the earth. Have you considered my servant Job? Yes, the devil says, you know what? You've hedged him in. You've opened your pocketbook. You have given him anything he wants. You have protected him day and night. You take that away from him, and he will curse you to your face. Verse 10. God said, go ahead. He's all yours. Do you know what we found in the story? Job was not following God because God had a lot of money. Job was following God because he touched God. He had the Spirit of God. He followed God. And he knew God. This is a tragedy that in our Christianity, people are thinking, I will believe in Jesus and he's going to take care of all my stuff and all my things. I'm going to live happily ever after. It's much better that we would say, wait a minute. I ate dinner tonight with a brother, Titus, who was in the Civil War in Liberia for 14 years. And we had to talk together about the prosperity doctrine. And he said, it's not a good teaching. Now, we talked a little bit about it, and not, this is not verbatim, but he was here this morning, and he said, I totally agree with your message that people are after God's stuff so they can live a good life, and yet maybe don't know the spirit and nature of God. Good word. Well, that's the end. I told you it was short. But it's good. I hope it means something to you in your heart. Because I believe the devil is in this. The devil is saying, you know, you take that away from those people and they're going to curse you. You take their friends away, they're going to leave you. You take bad circumstances come into the picture, and you're not going to even find them anymore. And we are saying, wait a minute. Lord Jesus, I don't care about your money. I don't care about those kind of things as much as I care about, can I see you? Could you give me twice? Could you fill me with your spirit all the time? Help me. And I'm preaching to myself, all of us. Could I make it through my trials, trusting in the Lord with all my heart? Too many people, when the marriage tanks, so does their faith. When the house is messed up, so they get messed up. When my world is all kind of confusing, may we consider this message. Elijah said, what could I do for you? He said, give me your spirit twice. Jesus could say, what could I do for you? Jesus, give us your spirit. Show us your word. Open our hearts. And teach us how to live by faith and have joy. You know, in our ministry, I believe it must be upbeat. I believe the spirit is a spirit of being upbeat, like with joy. At the same time, the spirit has us weep. And we weep because of the tragedy of people not knowing and finding out what God has purposed to give them, to fill them. So they settle for crazy things. Can you see in the news recently where high-powered, important men like sell their reputation of honor and integrity, they sell it out for something silly and foolish and sinful? But I do not judge any of those men that have fallen recently that you see in the news. Because, but by the grace of God, there go I. Amen. What difference is there between me or anybody else in this world? There is no difference whatsoever, except one thing have I desired that I will seek after, that I could dwell in your house and behold your glory and taste of the goodness of God, and feel the Spirit of God, and the joy and the peace of God, and the music of God, and the praise of God, and the prayers of God, and the way of God, and the mind of God, and the grace of God, and the kindness of God, and the comfort of God, and the message. Our ears are circumcised, means the knife of God has touched our ears. And we're not hearing all the things that are being said in the sewers of this country. In the sewers and the ears, the mouth is circumcised, the heart is circumcised. And we're thankful for that. Would you pray with me, please? If you're here tonight and you do not have Jesus as your Savior, you are given an invitation tonight. Let me explain it simply to you. There's something wrong with all of us. There's something radically wrong. We don't know it. Just like a fish doesn't know he's wet. He doesn't know any difference. A fish in the water, he doesn't know. It's just his world. And sinners live in a sinful world. And we don't know how wrong, how bad, how painful, how devastating it is. How a holy God is so different from sinful people. But a holy God sent his only Son. And he says to us, by the preaching of the gospel, by the word of God, whoever believes in the Son of God is justified, made righteous, forgiven, cleansed, anointed, sealed with the Spirit. Their name is in the book of life. They call God Abba, Father. They call God Father. And you might say, I'm so far away from it, I can hardly. And we say, do not even think about it, but come by faith. Come by faith. Forget it. You cannot clean up your life. God will clean it up. You cannot save yourself. God will save you in a moment tonight. By believing in him, say, Jesus, I believe in you. Anyone here in the auditorium, just slip up your hand. The ushers will give you a booklet. Anyone at all, slip up your hand. Yes to Jesus, yes to the Lord. On the internet, please. And may God fill all these seats every night. Every service, bring in people from the city, from Route 95. Bring in people from the Carolinas and Virginia. Bring in people that just pull in with a flat tire. They don't even know where they are. But send them like the animals went to Noah's Ark. And be saved by God's grace. And may you bless all the ministry of Christ in the city of Baltimore. Father, we need your Holy Spirit to move and live and work deeply, powerfully by your grace in our hearts. For the young men and women that are on the streets in Baltimore City, for our new police commissioner who is a preacher himself and a man of God, we pray for him, for our mayor, and for everyone here, Lord, in this city. And may there be an amazing moving of grace and salvation through your person. In Jesus' name, amen.